Hillel, this is Martin Rosendale, CEO of the Maryland Technology Council, a partner with Newport, and host of the Capital M podcast. Today, we're at the first annual Bioinnovation Conference sponsored by Maryland Life Sciences, where we're speaking with a number of entrepreneurs, innovators, and experts on the capital markets. This is Martin Rosendale. We're at the Bioinnovation Conference. This is the Capital M podcast, and I'm with Elaine Haynes, who's the president and CEO of Calisite. Elaine, hello.
Hi, Martin. Thanks for having me here today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. Elaine, could you take a minute and tell us about Calisite? Tell us a little bit about what you do and why you're doing it.
Great. So Calisite is a preclinical biotech startup that was formed about 3 years ago to develop a synthetic red blood cell substitute called erythromer that can be used for trauma and for bleeding when blood is not an available option. We are recently relocating to Baltimore to help advance the development of our product.
So that's fascinating. Tell us a little bit more, because I know this is a problem that people have wanted to solve for a long time, which is, you know, how to have a viable substitution for blood, avoid transfusion reactions, avoid the transmission of disease, and frankly, we've got battlefield issues, we've got trauma issues. So tell us a little bit about the history, how Calisite got formed.
So the problem is you mentioned is huge. 25,000 patients or more die from preventable injuries because they don't get blood in time, and many of those are in the pre-hospital setting. And then we also have that same situation on the battlefield. Calisite was one of our founders was working in the lab developing a nanoparticle for another application for imaging, and the particle that he developed looked like a donut or kind of like a red blood cell. So they thought, well, I wonder if we can make it act like a red blood cell. Figured out a way to encapsulate hemoglobin, paired up with our other founders who are experts in trauma medicine and red blood cell physiology. And I identified the potential for the product not only as a surrogate red blood cell, but also in a format that can be freeze-dried and stored for long-term use without refrigeration, eliminating a lot of the challenges with getting blood on ambulances or in the battlefield at a point when it's needed.
That's fantastic. I could talk to you all day long about freeze-drying blood and blood substitutes and where that's all headed. But we're here to talk about capital markets, and we're here to talk about Maryland and business in Maryland. And I understand that you just recently relocated the company. Can you tell us why?
So we had a unique opportunity about a year ago when our founder, Alan Doctor, was looking to expand his research platform in an environment that would be supportive to the companies as well as the future companies that he hopes will come out of the important work that he does with blood oxygen transport and hemostasis. And as we started talking with the University of Maryland in Baltimore, we were continually impressed with several things. One, the resources that are available to companies in the Maryland and specifically the Baltimore area with access to resources at the university, as well as state funding programs. So those resources were important to us. The other thing that was really important to Calisite specifically was that BioPark and the School of Medicine were open to allowing a commercial company, Calisite, to locate within the same research facility as the faculty researchers that are being brought into the center. So that really will help us de-risk quicker. It is already making our interactions and problem solving much more efficient, and gives me access to equipment through a service agreement as opposed to having to buy something I'm going to outgrow in 1 or 2 years. But the third thing that was really attractive to us was the region. And it's a set of benefits that you really can't replicate anywhere else in the country. So we have all of our stakeholders here, FDA, NIH, and then for Calisite, something that's really important is non-dilutive funding. So we already have one grant from NIH and have another in review. But also importantly for Calisite is the military application. So that's been well supported already with one grant from the DoD through the CDMRP system, and having the center where military medical research priorities are defined and funded right up at Fort Detrick in Frederick, Maryland, gives us proximity to that important stakeholder and allows for much more effective conversations.
So, Elaine, I want to talk about that for a minute, because we hear a lot about the value of that proximity. We're close to FDA, we're close to NIH, we're close to some amazing academic universities, the Department of Defense, essentially all of the government agencies. Why is proximity valuable? What does it do for you to be close to these agencies?
Well, I think I can answer that by, you know, just some of the benefits I've seen already here this morning being at this event. So it's one thing to have a conversation with someone or exchange emails around a project or funding opportunity where you're aligned. But it's much more effective to have those conversations face to face and get to know people in another level than you can on the phone or, you know, or via email. So that has already opened up opportunities. I ran into an individual I know through the NIH Commercialization Acceleration Program that invited me to an event happening next week. If I hadn't been here, having those conversations, that type of invitation may not have happened. And, you know, as you well understand, you have to take a lot of shots on goal to find that right pairing between an investment opportunity and the right investor. And by having a close proximity and a target-rich environment that we have in this area, I feel that's just going to accelerate our ability to get that funding to support the work we need to be effective.
Yeah, that's great, Elaine. Thank you for that, because we talk a lot about the feature of being close to these government agencies, but sometimes we struggle to describe that as a benefit and what the true benefit is. So I really appreciate you did that really well. I understand that you've raised some money. You've had some non-dilutive funding as well, some grants. Congratulations on those grants, by the way. What are your plans? Where, from a financial perspective, capital markets perspective, what are your plans?
So we are currently anticipating doing our Series A round, starting that in the spring or early summer. The biotech tax incentive is very attractive to us, and we want to make sure that we allow our investors to take full advantage of that. We also continue to apply for grants. I have a number of grants that are in various stages of submission and approval. We'll likely consider a short-term convertible note as bridge funding to get to that next inflection point prior to our Series A.
Okay. So I know you're relatively new to the area, so I don't want to put you on the spot too much. But what has your experience been so far since you've been here, in particular with respect to the capital markets? Have you talked to local investors? Have you worked with any of the professionals? Again, I know you haven't been here that long.
No, it's a great question, and I would say it's been very positive. So knowing that we are new to the area and needing to establish these relationships pretty quickly to get ready for the next funding round, BioPark has been very helpful in making some initial connections. So university and the BioPark have both been helpful with establishing some early relationships and introductions, as has TEDCO. That has led to a number of conversations where I've gone out and met with individuals on a couple of fronts. One, just to, you know, get a feel for the ecosystem. Two, to, you know, start finding where might those investment dollars come from. Where is there going to be a good fit between our stage and risk profile and the investor interest? But then most importantly, tapping into the local expertise. And I've been delighted with how collaborative and supportive everyone I have met with has been. We're very early in our development, and I recognize that we've got a lot to learn, not only about developing this particular product, but also the area. So I've been in sponge mode and just talking to as many people as I can and trying to get as much input and support as they're willing to offer, which has been a lot.
Great. So when you were making this decision to move here, when you were looking at the opportunities, is it safe to assume that you decided that this was the best place for Calisite to be?
Yes, it was the best place for us to come for a number of reasons. Numero uno was our founder and former president having a research facility here. But then the more we looked at kicked the tires and looked at all the pros and cons there, the business case was very easy to make.
So I'm a big advocate on Maryland and this region being number one. And I think there's so many companies like Calisite that we are already the number one location for those companies to be. We've developed quite an extensive listening group for this podcast. So if anyone is listening that is thinking about moving to Maryland, is there anything that you'd like to say to them that you haven't already?
I would just emphasize the importance of the proximity to a number of resources, both from a supportive front on the product development, the talent, the non-dilutive funding access, as well as an area that is centrally located on the Mid-Atlantic, within a couple of hours of major cities, but at a little bit more affordable area, and delightful ecosystem that is very welcoming and very supportive.
That's great. I find the same thing, by the way. I'm originally from Southern California, and I've been the CEO of a number of companies, two of them here in Maryland, and I find Maryland, for me, has always been the best place to place those companies. And from a lifestyle perspective, it's been the best place for my family as well. So about Calisite, what can we expect? What's next? What news should we be looking for coming from Calisite?
The next news I hope to share is that we've qualified for some additional grant funding. We also expect to go out to the market next year for our Series A, and continue to advance our product development. We anticipate we're about 2 to 3 years away from filing our IND and getting into the clinic. So it's all hands on deck to make sure that the product is ready to get us there.
That's fantastic. Exciting times, right?
Yeah, fun times. Very fun times.
So is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to talk about?
I would be remiss if I didn't point out the great support that we've already had in our development from Washington University in St. Louis, as well as BioGenerator, which is the incubator arm of BioSTL. We had a great foundation and continue to stay close to our friends in St. Louis, so it's a little bit bittersweet moving here. There are a lot of similarities between St. Louis and Baltimore, and the advantages that we've discussed with the proximity and the talent base and the stakeholders that are here make this a very exciting point in our transition. So I'm looking forward to tapping into the expertise here and hope for more good things to come out of Calisite.
That's fantastic. So, Elaine, thank you so much for choosing Maryland and Baltimore. I really appreciate it. Thank you for talking with us today. I love what you had to say about why you made the decision, and I'm fascinated about where you're headed with this technology going forward. So this is Martin Rosendale with the Maryland Technology Council on the Capital M podcast. I've been talking with Elaine Haynes of Calisite. Elaine, thank you so much for your time today.